Gentlemen, may I present Louis Bort. Bort, this is Doko Balto.
How do you do?
And this is Len Taki.
How are you?
Delighted to meet you both.
And do sit down. You both know how active Bort has been within the party.
Yes, of course.
Now, what you don't know is that for the last 6 months, he has been on Anacreon seeing what he can find out.
I don't have a rosy report for you. In fact, I'm afraid our position is a lost cause.
You think so?
It's gone past thought, Sumac. There's no room for any other opinion.
Why?
It's the attitude of the people. My original idea was to foster some sort of palace rebellion and install as king someone more favorable to the Foundation. Unfortunately, that's impossible. And Salvor Hardin has seen to that.
How do you mean?
The religion that Hardin and the Foundation has established works. All you see here is a large training school for the priesthood that occasionally puts on a special show for the pilgrims. But that's all. The whole business hardly affects us. But on Anacreon...
What kind of religion is it? Hardin's always said that it was just to get them to accept our science without question.
Hardin's explanations don't always mean much at face value, Taki.
Ethically, morally, it's fine. It scarcely varies from the philosophies of the old empire. But that's not all. It's built on strictly authoritarian lines, and the priesthood has sole control over the instruments we have given Anacreon. They believe in this religion entirely, and in the spiritual value of the power they handle. They form a hierarchy, at the apex of which is the king, who is regarded as a sort of minor god. He's an absolute monarch, and the people believe it completely, as do the priests. You can't overthrow a king like that.
Hold on. You said that Hardin's done all this. How?
The Foundation has fostered this delusion. We've put all our scientific backing behind this hoax with the side effect that Hardin himself is virtually a god to the Anacreonians. At least he's semi-holy, above even their high priest.
Oh, what's Ferisov doing there? Is he blind too? There was a time when he was a convinced actionist.
I don't know what he's doing. He's high priest to them, but he seems to be a figurehead.
There's something odd about it all. Is Hardin such a fool?
Seems to be.
Oh, there's something wrong. To cut our own throats so thoroughly and so hopelessly would require colossal stupidity. On the one hand, to establish a religion that would wipe out all chance of internal troubles, and on the other, to arm them. I don't see it.
Yes, the matter is a little obscure, but the facts are there. What else can we think?
Outright treason. He's in their pay.
No, I don't see that either. Tell me, Bort, did you hear anything about a battle cruiser that the Foundation is supposed to have put into shape for the use of the Anacreonian Navy?
No. The Navy Yards are religious sanctuaries. No one ever hears anything about the fleet.
Well, rumors have leaked out. Some of the party have brought the matter up in council, and Hardin never denied it. It might have significance.
It's all of a piece with the rest. If true, it's absolutely crazy.
He must have something. Some secret weapon.
Yes, a huge jack-in-the-box that will leap out at the psychological moment and scare Vinus to death. If we have to rely on a secret weapon, we might as well blow ourselves out of existence here and now and save ourselves the agony of suspense.
Then what it boils down to is this. Bort, how much time do we have?
I don't know. They never mention the Foundation. The entire media are given over to the approaching celebrations.
What celebrations?
Leopold comes of age next week.
Well, we have months, then. That gives us time.
It gives us no time at all. I've told you that the king is a god. Do you suppose that he is to carry on a campaign of propaganda to get his people into a fighting spirit? When the time comes, Leopold gives the order and the people fight. He may give the order tomorrow, for all I know.
Sumac!
What is it, Noras? What's happened?
Hardin going to Anacreon.
What?
It's true. It was on the Visicaster just now.
So, well, so. You're right. Hardin sold us out.
That leaves us no choice. I'm going to ask the council tomorrow that Hardin be impeached.
It's going to look bad, Hardin. They're going to say you're sneaking away.
Let them. I've got to get to Anacreon, and I want to do it with the minimum of fuss.
You know that Cermak called for your impeachment in the city council yesterday?
He had a perfect right to do so. Yet nevertheless, his motion was defeated.
Yes, by a majority of 22, and we counted on a minimum of 60.
Oh, it was close.
Very. And after the vote, 59 members of the Actionist Party walked out of the chamber, but not until Cermak had denounced you as a traitor and said that the council had condoned your treason, but that the name of his party was an actionist for nothing. Now, what does that sound like?
Trouble.
And now you're chasing off at daybreak like a criminal. You ought to face them, Hardin. And if you have to, declare martial law.
Violence is the last refuge of
the incompetent. Yes, I know.
Twenty years ago, the time vault opened. On the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Foundation.
And Harry Seldon gave us our first idea of what was really going on.
I remember. I was there.
Well, that was during our first crisis. This is our second. And 3 weeks from today will be the 70th anniversary of the Foundation. Does that strike you as in any way significant?
You mean he's coming again?
Seldon never said anything about returning, but it's of a piece with the whole plan. He's always done his best to keep all foreknowledge from us. And there's no way of telling whether the radium lock is set for further opening, short of dismantling the vault. I've been there every anniversary since the first appearance, just on the off chance. He's never appeared. But this is the first time since then that there has been a crisis.
Then he'll come.
Maybe, I don't know. But this is what I want you to do. Today's session of the council, just after you announce that I've left for Anacreon, you will further announce officially that in 3 weeks' time there will be another Harry Seldon recording containing a message of the utmost importance regarding the recently successfully concluded crisis. That's very importantly.
Right.
Now, don't add anything, no matter how many questions you're asked.
Will they believe it?
Doesn't matter. It will confuse them, which is all I want. Between wondering if it's true and what I mean by it, if it isn't, they'll decide to postpone action at least until the vault opens. I'll be back considerably before then.
Ah, here we are.
Well, goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye.
I hate to leave you in the frying pan like this, but there's no one else I can trust.
Don't worry.
Now, please, keep out of the fire.
Are you enjoying all this? I'm afraid that it is a trifle noisy.
No, on the contrary, Your Highness. It's all extremely interesting. We have no comparable spectacles on terms.
No doubt, Colonel. Would you care to come to my private chamber?
Yes.
To be a little quiet.
Glass of wine?
Thank you.
Here you are, Harding.
Thank you. To Leopold the First, King of Anacreon.
And soon to be Emperor of the Periphery.
And further.
Who knows? The galaxy may even be reunited someday.
Undoubtedly. By Anacreon.
Why not? With the help of the Foundation, our scientific superiority over the rest of the Periphery will be indisputable.
Well, yes, except that, of course, the Foundation's bound to help any nation that requests scientific aid. Due to the high idealism of our government and the great moral purpose of our founder, Harry Seldon, we are unable to play favourites.
But the galactic spirit helps those who help themselves. I quite understand that, left to itself, the Foundation would never cooperate.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We repaired the Imperial cruiser for you, even though my Board of Navigation wanted it for research purposes.
Research purposes? Right. Yet you would not have repaired it if I had not threatened war.
Oh, I don't know.
I do. Look here, Hardin. You were on Anacreon once before. You were young then. We were both young. But even then we had entirely different ways of looking at things.
You're what they call a man of peace, aren't you?
I suppose I am. At least I consider violence an uneconomical way of attaining an end.
Yes, I've heard. For myself, I've always believed in carving a straight path to my objective and following that path. I've accomplished much that way and fully expect to accomplish much more.
I know. I believe you're carving such a path for you and your children, considering the unfortunate death of the late king, your elder brother, and the present king's precarious state of health. He is in a precarious state of health, is he not?
You might find it advisable, Hardin, to avoid certain subjects. You may feel that your position as mayor of Terminus gives you a certain license, but you are wrong. I'm not one to be frightened of words. It's been my philosophy of life that difficulties vanish when faced boldly, and I have never turned my back upon one yet.
I don't doubt that. And what particular difficulty are you refusing to turn your back on at the present moment?
The difficulty of persuading the Foundation to cooperate. Your policy of peace has led you into making several very serious mistakes.
Not everyone is as afraid of direct action as you are.
For instance?
For instance, you came to Anacreon alone and accompanied me to my chambers alone.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing, except that outside this room there are 5 armed guards ready to shoot.
I don't think that you can leave, Hardy.
I have no desire to leave. Do you then fear me so much?
I don't fear you at all.
But this may serve to impress you with my determination. Shall we call it a gesture?
Call it what you please. I shall not concern myself over the incident, whatever you choose to call it.
I'm sure that that attitude will change with time. But you have made another error, Hardy. A more serious one. It seems that the planet Terminus is almost wholly undefended.
Naturally. What have we to fear? We threaten no one's interests and we serve all alike.
Yet while remaining defenseless, you allow us to arm ourselves with a navy which, since your donation of the Imperial cruiser, is quite irresistible.
Your Highness, you're wasting time. If you mean to declare war, and informing me of the fact, you will allow me to communicate with my government at once.
Sit down, Hardy.
I am not declaring war, and you are not communicating with your government. When the war is fought, not declared, Hardy, fought, the Foundation will be informed of it in due time by the atom blasters of the Anacreonian Navy.
When will all this happen?
The ships of the fleet left Anacreon exactly 50 minutes ago. At 2300 hours precisely. And the first shot will be fired as soon as they sight Terminus, which will be at noon tomorrow. You may consider yourself a prisoner of war.
I am disappointed.
Is that all?
I would have thought that the moment of coronation, midnight, would have been a more logical time to have set the fleet in motion, but evidently you wanted to start the war while you were still regent. It would have been more dramatic the other way.
What are you talking about?
I've set my counterstroke for midnight.
You're not bluffing me. There's no counterstroke. If you're counting on the support of the other kingdoms, forget it. Their navies combined are no match for ours.
I don't intend firing a shot. It's simply that the order was given a week ago that at midnight tonight the planet Anacreon goes under interdict.
Interdict?
Every priest in Anacreon is going on strike, unless I countermand the order. But I can't while I'm being held incommunicado, nor do I wish to, even if I weren't. Do you realize, Your Highness, that an attack on the Foundation is nothing short of sacrilege of the highest order?
Pah! Say that nonsense for the mob.
My dear Highness, whoever do you think I am saving it for? I imagine that for the last half hour, every temple in Anacreon has been the center of a mob listening to a priest exhorting them upon that very subject. There's not a man or woman upon Anacreon that doesn't know that their government has launched a vicious, unprovoked attack upon the center of their religion. You'd better go to the Grand Hall to watch events. Yeah, I'll be quite safe here with 5 guards outside the door.
Silence for the Prince Regent of Anacreon, His Royal Highness, Prince Vinus. People of Anacreon, it is almost midnight. The time has at last come for me to relinquish the regency. I present to you your King, Leopold I, by the grace of the Galactic Spirit, King of Anacreon.
What's happening? Lights!
Get the bears!
This way.
There's no harm done. Keep your places. I'll return in a moment.
Your Highness.
What is it, Captain?
Your Highness, the palace is surrounded by the people of the city.
What do they want?
A priest at their head. The High Priest Berisov. He demands the immediate release of Mayor Salva Hardin and the cessation of war against the Foundation.
If any of the rebels attempt to close the palace gates, blast them out of existence.
Thank you.
Hardin, you're playing with forces too great for you.
Ah, good morning, Your Majesty. May I congratulate you upon your coronation?
Thank you.
Hardin, order your priests back to their jobs.
Order them yourself, Vines. At this moment, there isn't a single wheel turning on Anacreon. There's not a light burning, except in the temples. On the winter half of the planet, there's not a calorie of heat, except in the temples. Not a drop of water running, except in the temples. The hospitals are taking no more patients. Power plants have shut down. All ships are grounded. If you don't like it, Vinus, you could try ordering the priests back to their jobs yourself.
Very well, Hardin. I will. If it's to be a showdown, so be it. We'll see if your priests can withstand the army. Tonight, every temple on the planet will be put under supervision.
Very good. But how are you going to give the orders, hmm? Every line of communication on the planet's shut down. The only communicator on the planet that will work, outside the temples, of course, is the televisor right here in this room, and that is fitted only for reception. If you wish, you can order your army into the Argolid Temple just outside the palace, and then use the ultra-wave sets there to contact the rest of the planet. But if you do that, I'm afraid that the army contingents will be cut to pieces by the mob. Then who will protect your palace, Vinus? And your life, Vinus?
We can hold out, Hardin. Let the mob howl and the power die. When the news comes back that the foundation has been taken, the mob will find out in what a vacuum their religion has been built, and they will desert the priests and turn against them. I give you until noon tomorrow, Hardin, because you can't stop my fleet. They're on their way, Hardin, and at their head, the great cruiser you yourself ordered repaired.
Yes, the great cruiser I myself ordered repaired, but in my own way.
Huh?
Tell me, Vinus, have you ever heard of an ultra-wave relay?
No.
Well, switch on the televisor. In about 2 minutes, you'll see what it can do to your ship.
Oh.
Would you care to sit down, Your Majesty?
Thank you.
Really,
oh, Vinus, do sit down.
No.
Who are you? What are you doing on the bridge of my ship?
I am Theo Epaulette, one of the senior priests of Anacreon, and I wish to address your crew.
Attend to yourselves and your blessings, priest. I'll attend to the ship and its crew.
Very well. Restrain him, men.
Don't listen to him, men!
They're for reception
only.
What do you
men think you're doing? Take your hands off me this instant!
He is our priest, Admiral, and we must obey him.
And I am
Silence! And listen to what I have to say.
Silence!
Open all communication channels for me, will you?
I wish to address the ship.
Communication channels open, Your Reverence.
Thank you. Soldiers of the Royal Flagship, it is your priest, Apparat, who speaks to you. Your ship is engaged in sacrilege. Without your knowledge, it is performing such an act as will damn the soul of every man among you. Listen. It is the intention of your admiral to take this ship to the Foundation and there to bombard that source of all blessings into submission to his sinful will. And since that is his intention, I, in the name of the Galactic Spirit, remove him from his command.
The Divine King himself may not maintain his kingship without the consent of the Galactic Spirit.
Oh, this is absolute rubbish.
Uncle, that's blasphemy. Shut up.
Upon such a devil's errand, the blessing of the Spirit is removed from it as well. In the name of the Galactic Spirit, I curse this ship!
What's happening?
The ship is paralyzed.
Paralyzed? What do you mean?
The chief characteristic of a scientific religion is that its curses really work. A priest on Anacreon operates an ultra-wave relay, and a ship in deep space, fitted out by the Foundation, of course, is rendered helpless. What a curse.
I now order that the one-time Prince Regent, Vinus, be imprisoned.
What?
And tried before an ecclesiastical court for his crimes.
Rubbish!
Otherwise, the Navy, upon returning to Anacreon, will blast the palace to the ground and take whatever other measures are necessary to destroy the nest of sinners and the den of destroyers of men's souls. that now prevails.
There is an old fable, as old perhaps as humanity, for the oldest records containing it are merely copies of other records much older. It might interest you, Rhinus. A horse, having a wolf as a powerful and dangerous enemy, lived in constant fear of his life. Being driven to desperation, it occurred to him to seek a strong ally. Whereupon he approached a man and offered an alliance, pointing out that the wolf was likewise an enemy of the man. The man accepted the partnership at once and offered to kill the wolf immediately if his new partner would only cooperate by placing his greatest speed at the man's disposal. The horse was willing and allowed the man to place bridle and saddle upon him. The man mounted, hunted down the wolf and killed him. The horse, joyful and relieved, thanked the man and said, "Now that our enemy is dead, remove your bridle and saddle and restore my freedom." Whereupon the man laughed loudly and replied, "The hell with you. Giddy up, Dobbin." You see the analogy, I hope. In their anxiety to consolidate their position of total domination over their peoples, the kings of the four kingdoms accepted the religion of science that made them divine. But that same religion of science was your bridle and saddle. For it placed the lifeblood of atomic power in the hands of the priesthood, who take their orders from Terminus, not from you. You've killed the wolf, but cannot get rid of the harness.
Go, I'll finish you yet. You won't escape. Soldiers, shoot him down.
They are wiser than you, Vinus.
Shoot him down! Kill him!
Uncle, he's the figurehead of our religion. He's divine.
Damn you, then! Give me your blaster!
Uncle!
Poor Vinus, a man of direct action to the end. The last refuge.
Ah, Lee. You look very worried.
What's wrong now?
I thought you wouldn't get here. Seldon's due to appear at any moment, isn't he?
I certainly hope so.
And what if he doesn't?
Are you going to wear me down with your worries all my life, Lee? If he doesn't, he doesn't.
But without Seldon's backing for what we've done, Cermak will be free to start all over again. He wants outright annexation of the Four Kingdoms and immediate expansion of the Foundation by force, if necessary. He's begun his campaign already.
I know. A fire-eater must eat fire. He only has to kindle it himself. And you, Lee, have got to worry, even if you have to kill yourself to invent something to worry about.
God, Hardy, you were right. He is going to appear.
Then have some respect for Seldon. Be quiet for a little while.
I am Harry Seldon. This is the second time I have been here. Of course, I don't know if any of you were here the first time. In fact, I have no way of telling by sense perception that there is anyone here at all. But that doesn't matter. If the second crisis has been overcome safely, you are bound to be here. There is no way out. If you are not here, then the second crisis has been too much for you. I doubt that, however, as my figures show a 98.4% probability that there is to be no significant deviation from the plan in the first 70 years. You have now reached domination of the barbarian kingdoms immediately surrounding the Foundation. Just as in the first crisis, you held them off by the use of the balance of power, so now, in the second, you have gained mastery by the spiritual power as against the temporal. However, I must warn you here against overconfidence. It is not my way to grant you any foreknowledge in these recordings, but it would be safe to indicate that what you have now achieved is merely a new balance, though one in which your position is considerably better. The spiritual power, while sufficient to ward off attacks of the temporal, is not sufficient to attack in return. because of the inevitable growth of the counteracting force known as regionalism or nationalism, the spiritual power cannot prevail. The neighboring kingdoms, in manpower and resources, are still overwhelmingly powerful when compared with yourselves. Beyond them stretches the vast, tangled jungle of barbarism that extends around the rim of the galaxy. And within that rim, there is still the Galactic Empire, and that, weakened and decaying though it is still incomparably mighty. And never forget that there was another foundation established 70 years ago, a foundation at the other end of the galaxy, at Star's End. Gentlemen, 930 years of the plan stretch ahead of you. The problem is yours.
He didn't say when he'd be back.
I know. But I trust that he won't return until after you and I are safely and cozily dead.